And on today's program, we're talking probably about a lot of computer penis. Yeah. It's Paul Verhoeven's Hollow Man. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadek.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies. Everyone, welcome to We Hate Movies on the Sideshow Network. Thank you for tuning in. As always, this week, it's finally come around. I feel like we've been dancing around this movie for a long time. It's Paul Verhoeven's Hollow Man from the year 2000.
Yeah, it's
woof. Woof. It's, sorry, I just got to woof it out.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of woof, all you cabin heads out there, he should be back next week.
Yeah.
He should be. Should be.
We'll see what happens. Fingers crossed.
The good news is...
Right.
Kevin Bacon's sitting in. He's right here. He's invisible. You can't see him. You can't hear him.
His invisible voice box.
I sure can feel him, though.
Oh, God. That ding dong.
Oh, my God. Whoa.
I mean, this movie.
Wild things.
Dude, this movie should be like the credits are rolling and it's like starring, you know, Kevin Bacon, Elizabeth Shue, Josh Brolin, Joey Slotnick. Kevin Bacon's dick.
Greg Grunberg.
Yeah. Oh, the dick's getting credited over Grunberg. Don't worry about that.
We should mention at the top that we watch, I believe we all watch the director's cut.
Absolutely.
Which might increase your dong percentage. And hey, if you're looking to watch Hollow Man, increase their dong percentage.
Oh, why not, man? Just jump in face first to the director's cut. The sought after director's cut of Hollow Man.
Yeah, I think it's like 7 minutes more footage. And I think it is all computerized people. Because we're not, we don't see anything, you know, we're not in Wild Things country here. We're in, like, every so often you'll see thermal penis. Like, it's like the Predator is looking through Kevin Bacon's window.
Oh, man, the Predator is a peeper? I like that.
Oh, sure. He's just a little gross peeping pred, man.
It's like, oh, God, Predator.
Kevin Bacon, get out of there. The Predator is spying on you in the shower.
He wants to see your dick.
Get out of the shower.
Why do you think he doesn't? Why do you think he wears fishnet? That's because he's a pervert.
Get to the pants. What are you doing? Get to the pants.
Get to the pants. Kevin Bacon stars in Get to the Pants.
So this is Paul. What in the world?
What are you even saying?
So this is Paul Verhoeven.
Yes, it is.
Who is the director of RoboCop?
RoboCop. Basic Instinct.
Oh, yeah.
This year's L that's coming out. Going to see that in a few
Black
days.
Black Book Starship Troopers, which is a good movie.
See, you said those together like that. It sounded like you were saying there was a movie called Black Book Starship Troopers. there's a movie called Black Book, a.k.a. Zwartbach.
And that's the good movie, right? Yeah. Were you saying Starship Troopers?
Troopers is kind of a fun movie.
All right.
Starship Troopers is a fun enough movie. Zwartbach, legit good film.
Yep.
Someone gets... dumped on by a massive bowl of feces in that movie. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's true to history.
So Paul Verhoeven, like, he's made a lot of movies.
Made a lot of good movies for the most part.
Including Hollow Man. if you have an affinity for sexual terror, this is it.
I think that Hollow Man suffers mostly because it was made in the year 2000.
That's a big problem.
I think you're right.
The year 2000 was a tough year to put out a movie.
It's just impossible to make a good movie in the year 2000.
You had a few. Like, you had, you know, Gladiator's okay. That first X-Men movie's all right.
Fight Club is there.
Sure.
That was 99, I think.
Yeah, just missed the aughts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Same with My Matrix.
Oh, right.
Which is just, which is similar to The Matrix, but My Matrix...
But it's just, it's because the problem is, and I think we discussed this way back when on an old archived episode entitled Boys and Girls.
Uh-huh.
This movie, while released in 2000, I mean, this is the 90s, baby.
Yeah.
It looks and sounds and fucking stinks of the 90s.
Speaking of which, what is this music Kevin Bacon is rocking out to?
It's what we hear at We Hate Movies call fart rock.
Oh, it's a little electronica fart rock.
Yeah,
I
couldn't
even get Fart Brothers with lasers.
Yeah, or the Fart Rock with lasers.
Yeah,
pew,
I couldn't.
Pew, pew, pew.
I couldn't place it. I was like, Is that nu metal? No, not really. Is that fart rock? Well, it's not fun enough. You're right. I think it is that fart laser.
Oh, man.
Fart laser? It's my new side niche band. We play fart laser music.
Oh, is that what Kevin Bacon is doing?
Oh, you know, and the Bacon Brothers?
The Bacon Brothers. Don't I forget.
How is it that Kevin Bacon doesn't work into his like contracts for movies that every soundtrack to the movie he's in has to have at least one tune by the Bacon Brothers?
Because I feel like whenever he's approached with a project, the person knows and like don't even bring it up. Like he's like, and, like don't even start. No.
Hey, Paul, what do you think about? No. Okay. I'll try again next week. Don't bother.
One thing that I do find adorable on the IMDb trivia was that Paul Verhoeven needed to be explained what Marco Polo was, like the American game.
Oh, right. The pool game.
He was like, why are they all saying Marco Polo to him? What's that mean?
It's weird because I read that on the Tribune also, and I was like, oh, I guess that isn't a universal pool game. European listeners, do you know what we're talking about?
Probably not. I think that's a dumb American thing.
We invent a lot of stupid shit. You know what else we invented? Jay Leno. You know who's featured vocally in this movie for no reason? Jay Leno.
Oh, really?
Dude, what? So at the beginning of the movie, we enter on Kevin Bacon, and he's like, he's working at his computer.
Oh, this stupid.
It's the fakest fake computer. Like, he's playing a computer game, basically.
He's playing like Dr. Mario 2000.
Yeah, exactly. Line up the colored pills to make this serum or whatever.
Actually, one of my notes is Tetris science.
Yeah, that's exactly. It's like a fake video game science experiment. And in the background, he's just got the Tonight Show on for no reason, and you listening to Jay Leno just jawing in the background of this movie while he's click clacking at this shit.
What's annoying? What's hilarious about the science? Because obviously, like to make somebody invisible, it's really complicated. But they're like, I don't know, if you just put the blocks in the right order, it's gonna work out.
Red, green, red, red, blue. All right, that didn't work.
Oh shit.
Red, blue, yellow, yellow, yellow.
Yeah, it's like they're acting like this is hard science. You know? My kid could do that.
So he gets it right. He video calls Elizabeth Shue, which is weird because, I mean, is this like the near future or what?
That's a good question because this video connection looks fantastic.
Absolutely.
And like we're making this movie in 1999. I don't think so. Where's your real player buffering over this shit? Give me a break. This is crystal clear.
We were up around this time in history, folks, and young children who have found the program gather around. We loved the idea of the video phone or the vid phone.
Oh, we were obsessed with it. I mean, we've been obsessed with it for decades.
I feel like most Paul Verhoeven movies have vid phones in them, like RoboCop vid phone, Starship Troopers vid phone.
They got a vid phone in Basic Instinct?
It's entirely possible.
Probably putting a couple inside toilets or something in that movie.
Ooh, oh man, I gotta start dialing some numbers.
Dude, that movie gets
fucking filthy. Wayne Knight's calling you on a vid phone from Basic Instinct?
I'm still sweating! He sweats an awful lot in that scene.
In Black Book or Svartbuch, the Nazis invent a vid phone.
Oh, that's right, yeah, using evil Nazi science. Don't worry about it, so many vid phones.
So, he's like, oh, I cracked the code, we're gonna go. They're working on an invisible serum in a lab.
Which, this lab.
A super lab.
Yeah, this super lab.
We're talking basement, like, several levels below street
level.
That's
where the super lab is. The upstairs is the set of RoboCop. This is where Alex Murphy gets gunned down.
It's where that dude gets hit with the acid and turns into Jason Voorhees.
Yeah.
I just feel like later on in the movie, like, it becomes a thing where, like, you know, you guys are behind on the project, et cetera, et cetera. I think it's because Goldeneye needs to get down there. Like, they're just like, they've leased it out to Goldeneye, and he's got to come in there.
Excuse me, James Bond has to film in here?
it's an underground super lair with different, like, all sorts. I mean, like, if this is the one project, there's so many better places to make an invisible serum than spending $1.5 billion to make this.
Yeah, and you know
what?
Why do we need this headquarters?
Yeah. For like eight people work there, or five, or whatever, six.
And I understand the animal testing angle, but why are they using dangerous animals? It's like, oh, you have a vicious gorilla.
Yeah. Let's, you know what? Let's reinvent dinosaurs and make an invisible T-Rex. Like, this movie starts, like, the first thing you actually see is, like, a little rat, and it runs into a thing, and the door closes behind it, and it just gets, like, it gets chomped by something invisible, and you see, like, blood on some invisible teeth and whatnot. And you're like, is it a wolf? Is it a fucking cougar? I don't know.
Is it Kevin Bacon?
He's starving.
Is it the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon?
We never go back to it, so who knows? But yeah, we've got this invisible fucking ape. They've got all sorts of like strong as shit monkeys running around.
I get like the invisible, like, oh, you know, humans, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But yeah, just get like a chimp, a nice fun invisible chimp.
Yeah, that's easy to kill. You just keep a baseball bat right next to your serums.
And if
that chimp goes out of line, you just start swinging for the fences air.
Dude, chimps are ripping faces off, man.
Well, sure.
You want something that can chimp, chew your fucking face off to be invisible? Just use a gerbil.
I mean, I don't see, okay, why? Okay, now you're keeping them in cages. That's smart. Chain them up, man.
Yeah.
You know what? You're already doing this mad science to these animals. No one cares if you're humane to them.
Well, no, that's the thing. They've got a veterinarian in there played by Kim Dickens.
Well, you need a crooked veterinarian.
That's the problem. She plays by the rules. That's a real problem.
But because Josh Brolin goes in to feed this invisible ape and...
inject it with a trank.
To inject it with a tranquilizer and like the ape scratches him and runs out and there's an invisible gorilla... And I know I'm going vacillating between ape and gorilla, and that's a problem.
I believe this is a gorilla.
An invisible gorilla. There's an invisible gorilla running around this facility. That is the time. That's what alarms are for.
Oh, there's red lights flashing?
If there was ever a time for an alarm, it's when an invisible gorilla is loose on your facility.
You better believe it. And the cavalier way that Kevin Bacon and Josh Brolin are like, bet you $10 I can knock it out first. I'm like, there is a wild, invisible animal.
Not only that, Josh Brolin just had his arm like bitten apart by a giant gorilla.
Oh, he don't care.
And he's just like, yeah, whatever.
Hey,
it's bleeding down the corridor.
And he's got fun little infrared goggles. Kim Dickin, they trank it. And the idea is, you know, now we've cracked the invisible code, but for some reason, the visible one's a little tough.
Yeah, we can't bring them back. They keep staying invisible, I guess, is the idea. So, you know, cut to the chase. Kevin Bacon. I keep wanting to say Kevin Spacey. I wish he was in this movie. Kevin Bacon.
As what, the gorilla?
Oh, yeah. What the hell? He can voice that gorilla.
That'd be a great side effect. Oh, it's invisible and it's hyper intelligent.
Oh, yeah, dude. Now it's like Deep Blue Sea, but with invisible talk and apes.
Oh, you know what Kevin Bacon's... you know, and Kevin Spacey's biggest fear is being invisible. Because how could you applaud for him? How could he ham if he's invisible?
Also, real quick note about the costuming in this movie, because he's invisible for most of the film.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Kevin Bacon, first few minutes of this picture, you better believe he's wearing a leather duster.
Oh, yeah.
You see this jacket he's got on? Dude, he looks like a warlock.
It's not as...
Sorry. I'm just picturing invisibility and black magic, and boy, does that sound good together.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. Invisibility spells? Yeah. Way better movie.
It's not as bad as Elizabeth Shue's jacket. She was just hunting dinosaurs. This is like a raptor hunting jacket, because it's brown leather. It goes down to like her feet. Like, it's not a practical coat.
It's like someone went to pick up a costume from one of the Underworld movies, and they were like, this isn't supposed to be brown. It's supposed to be black.
So this
they cut, shoot this fucking gorilla.
Cut
man,
to
whatever.
Gorilla heart attack, which is my favorite
oh,
part.
Yeah, I remember, so this movie opened mere months after I first started working at the multiplex back in the day. And I remember doing like the theater checks. You go in with the flashlight, make sure the air conditioning's on, it's in focus, blah,
make
blah,
sure
blah.
No one's masturbating.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is one of those movies.
Mm-hmm. And this was one of those movie theaters. But, dude, I remember walking into the theater like to do this theater check, like right as this fucking gorilla's having a heart attack, and I could not keep it together. They're putting the paddles to this gorilla.
Were you crying for the gorilla?
No, I was laughing my tits off. It's a cartoon gorilla having a heart attack.
It's kind of like an old school, like Don't Wake Daddy or Crocodile Dentist, like board game. You
oh,
might
totally.
Play. Gorilla heart attack.
Oh. Dude, it's like Don't Break the Ice.
Yeah, exactly. You gotta
get those cheap fucking Milton Bradley games.
Like, it's basically you keep using the paddles, but sometimes the gorilla will get you. You
know? Uh-oh, Cracker's in bed. I had all those games, man. If you wanted to have your parents waste fucking $20 at the toy store, fucking Don't Wake Daddy, dude. There it is.
Garbage.
Garbage. So Kevin Bacon is like, you know, a real shit don't stank. He keeps saying like he's God kind of a guy. It gets obnoxious.
I mean, like, well, the thing is, like, the idea is he's not a good guy. He's never a good guy in this movie ever. But at the beginning, he's okay. They never really. They said the gorilla is more aggressive than before, so maybe the invisibility spell has something to do with it.
Well, that is from the Invisible Man. I mean, he goes mad.
Yeah.
You know, in that story, the same way. It affects it, you know, the brain chemistry or
the
something.
The gorilla goes mad.
Oh, yeah.
This is a mad gorilla.
This gorilla is mad as fuck, dude. And that's why it starts. It gets so mad, it gives itself a hilarious heart attack.
And I got to say, I don't know how you guys felt, but I was like, at the time, I was like, this CGI is great. And last night when I was watching this, I was like, "This CGI is pretty good."
I was watching it off of Blu-ray, and it holds up enough. You know, it's like, yeah, it's a cartoon, but it's like, what are you gonna do?
Yeah,
right. It's fucking Kevin Bacon turning invisible. You know what I mean?
Like, you know, and they came up with like a new way to do it, right? Like you do it in layers, right? Like you're peeling an onion, right?
Yeah, I'm just getting in there.
Oh, there goes the skin. That's just the muscle, and there's the muscle penis,
and that's where we start getting into this dick. You get like cut to he gets the serum. They go to the government. He lies and says like they haven't cracked it yet because he wants to try it on humans. Cut to the biggest point of the movie is he's trying it on himself.
I do have to mention he's wearing to a Pentagon meeting. He's wearing a purple tie with a purple shirt.
This is what Magneto wears to Congress. This is not like a suit that you're trying to report important results to a committee.
But that's the cockiness of this character, dude. Yeah. I mean, he's like, yeah, I'm going to go to the fucking Pentagon looking like I'm in a goddamn Prince cover band. Come on. So cut to them trying the experiment on him. And you get, it's just the slightest little tease of Kevin Bacon's actual penis in this movie. Like, just littlest bit. He hops up on a table. Mm. It's one of those MrsSkin.com freeze frames. You just get a little dongle dangle there, like, just a second. But then after that, it's all cartoon cock in this movie.
No, but at one point when he gets it, like, as always with serums, it hurts him. And he's going, rah, 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 rah. You get some bacon taint in there, I'll be honest with you.
Oh, you're seeing taint?
Yeah.
Shit.
The fucking IMDb Tribune said, someone there said that it was like they like scanned Kevin Bacon's entire body down to his last capillary. Like, I don't know. And they said it was like totally like correct. So like,
here's the
this
thing.
Is like his fucking real
it's,
dick.
It's the
dude.
Real thing, dude. Like right down to the urethra. Like it's all there. Yeah. It's all there.
Oh, when they're peeling it back, showing him going invisible, and they got that urethra right there.
Well,
that's his actual.
So the way it works is because you see with the gorilla, like you see like that they're injecting invisible nothing, and you see like the shit pumps in. Then you start to see the heart and everything kind of builds outward. It kind of doesn't make sense why like the skin burns off his body, or at least it looks like that way. Like there's like a little bit of a singe graphic involved.
He kind of looks like Aaron Eckhart as Two-Face.
Yes, he does.
With my fucking skin.
It would just like kind of evaporate, right?
Yeah,
like,
it's weird. It makes it look like acid's burning it, I guess. But maybe that's part of like why it hurts.
Oh,
I don't know.
It stings.
He keeps yelling like, "I didn't think it would hurt this much," or whatever.
It stings when your skin leaves your penis.
But my question is, what wouldn't it you all? It would go from the inside out, right? Because that's where you're injecting, right?
That might make sense.
Like, because it would be like
the heart
the skin
would vanish
goes,
first.
Yes, once the skin's gone, there should be nothing underneath it.
I don't think we should be trying to apply logic to the transformation process from the film Hollow Man.
But Andrew, I'm really close.
Really close house.
All he has to do is position one more of these marbles on this mobile game in order for the whole thing to work.
And that's science. That's what you do.
Red, red, yellow, yellow. There's a blue in there. Oh, it all fell. Don't wake daddy. Yeah.
You fucking fruit ninja.
You finally crushed candy. Now you could be invisible. That's why that's why people play it so much.
Yeah, I think it's like
the end game is to be invisible.
Level 399 or something.
Yeah.
I will tell you what is fucking hilarious, though. And it's not the fault of the animation in this movie, because it's just always been this way. They get him down to, like, the skeleton, and this skeleton is writhing in pain, and it just sounds like Kevin Bacon. Boy, oh boy, is that funny. Oh, it's funny. It's like an old Merry Melodies cartoon.
Well, he looks like the dancing baby at certain points, you know what I mean? Like, it's not that good.
Right. What's better looking, though? Kevin's Bacon, Kevin Bacon turning invisible like this, or just the entirety that is the CGI ape? Or gorilla, because that gorilla, there's no fucking gorilla in this movie.
I think that, well, there's a fake gorilla, there's a CGI gorilla, and then an animatronic gorilla a little later. That's not.
Oh, what? Where's the animatronic gorilla?
When it's just a real gorilla, when they're putting it back in the cage, it's like.
Now, is that a robot? Do you think, or is that a stuntman? In a suit,
a little Trading Places kind of a situation.
Was it Andy Serkis? Is what I'm asking.
Well, maybe it's both. Maybe they got a stuntman, and made him part robot. Like, they turned him into a gorilla, and now he just works on Hollywood sets playing a gorilla,
but he's
part robot. How cool would that be?
Now I'm thinking about Andy Serkis in, like, the old country, you know what I mean? Like, you know how, like, when you're a band, you, like, go to bars and you perform?
Yeah.
And, like, you know, so nobody gets it, and they throw peanuts at you. Like,
sure.
Andy Serkis would, like, pretend to be a gorilla at bars.
Yeah.
And, like, pretend to be a dragon at bars.
You'll see. Someday I'm going to be a millionaire from all this. I is Gorilla Andy. Let's throw shit at him.
I mean, I'm sure he went to acting school, but I'm like 99% sure he went to acting school. But I do like this Andy Serkis biography we have going on.
So there is a little bit of history between some characters in this movie. Kevin Bacon and Elizabeth Shue used to be fucking. They ain't fucking. Now she's fucking Josh Brolin.
She needs to, I mean, like, look, Kevin Bacon's an incredible creep in this movie, but she needs to set clearer boundaries. Like, he's an asshole.
Why is everyone fucking at work?
You gotta stop fucking your coworkers, first of all.
I mean, and that's on everybody. And, you know, like,
Greg Grunberg, I'm looking at you.
Oh, he's fucking everybody.
Oh, that gorilla's gotten it.
Greg Grunberg.
That invisible dog.
You mess with the grun, you get the berg.
Greg Grunberg is openly looking at pornography later in this movie.
Yeah, he's just jacking off at work, dude.
Here's the thing.
You're not just perusing a porno mag at your desk at 12 at night.
You took the words right out of my mouth. Greg Grunberg is working the overnight watch on Kevin Bacon. He's supposed to be monitoring him, and he's looking at pornography. Guess what, dude? You are planning to jerk off at work.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. You're the most unprofessional fucking scientist I've ever
Hold
seen.
Hold on. You've never jizzed at the office?
No.
Now I
know why you keep getting fucking fired.
Rule number 1 through 5, man.
Remember, leave no trace. Now, I understand your office is full of fucking animals and stuff, but you don't need to introduce a trouser snake into the mix.
But no, I mean, when I said that she's like being... She needs to set clearer boundaries because, like, there's a scene where, like, they crack the thing, the gorilla comes back, and they go out for a drink, and, like, she keeps, like, going up to his face and, like, whispering stuff. Like, you got to leave a little room for the Lord is what I'm saying. Right. You know what I mean? Like,
well, there's also, I mean, here's the thing. There's also a moment in the movie, and talk about making me wish I was watching something else, but there's one part where he, like, makes some fucking horrible, salacious comment to her.
Because he's
a piece of shit.
Brolin?
No, Kevin Bacon.
Oh, right, yeah.
And, you know, he says something fucking piggish, and then she responds with, like, oh, sorry, you know, we can't travel through time. And he's like, oh, maybe we should invent it. And I'm like, Elizabeth Shue should not be talking about time travel in a movie, because I'm just thinking about Back to the Future.
The IMDb said that, too. The IMDb very much like the movie she was in, Back to the Future.
Oh, you know what?
Soon enough, this podcast is just going to become IMDb trivia.
But you know what? That is not fucking trivia. It's just a thought somebody had.
It's not a podcast either yet. You're listening to it.
Welcome back to IMDb Minute by Minute.
Oh, man.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Fuck, we just read IMDb pages.
I mean,
so speaking of animals, Josh Brolin.
Yeah.
I got to mention this. We've seen him shirtless numerous times in this film.
Sure.
Sure.
Who's shaving that Brolin, man? There's not any body here at all.
I don't get it.
It was 2000. It was against the rules.
It was against. I understand.
You were not allowed to have any body hair whatsoever.
And you know what? I've seen old Pa Brolin shirtless in a lot of movies from the 70s. I know that Bloodline's got body hair, baby. Mm-hmm.
And I want it. I want to see that second gorilla.
You know what? Actually, speaking of Josh Brolin, that gorilla looks better than Thanos.
Oh,
yes, it does.
Yep.
No, I have no problem.
That is a more realistic gorilla than a realistic alien monster.
Now, Steve, as the resident comic book expert, would it offend you if these movies, Thanos was just a semi-translucent gorilla?
Not at all.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah, you put a little helmet on his head, that's all.
Yeah.
Why don't you just, I mean, it's not the same comic book line, so it wouldn't work out, but like, just ape some kind of Gorilla Grodd type character.
Yes, yeah.
And put it into the MCU.
Honestly, every one of those movies could use just a talking gorilla.
Totally.
Josh Brolin can voice it if you want.
It just lights up the room, man. Mm-hmm. You're like, is that gorilla talking? Wow, I feel great.
You know, and as much as I like Rocket Raccoon, I'm watching him and I'm like, where's the gorilla?
Oh, that's a pairing. Rocket right? Raccoon and a talking gorilla?
Maybe they're adversaries?
Dude, that is such a great idea. I'd buy fucking single issue comics of that shit.
Okay, so you got Rocket Raccoon and Groot going up against a semi-translucent ape. Uh-huh. And shit, what would be a nice plant? Maybe a vine?
Oh, that's, yeah. You
know,
maybe the band The Vines show up. That'd be fun.
Oh my
Speaking
God.
Speaking of 2000. Yeah.
Seriously. Wow, where are you digging them up from?
I think he's got the Spider-Man soundtrack on his brain. Or am I thinking of The Hives?
Either
What's
or.
What's the fucking difference?
Wow. The Hives were a good band. That
were
was
they?
The diff- I liked The Hives quite a bit.
I had a couple of Hives albums. So he becomes invisible.
Oh, right.
They're all like, hey, you know, you shouldn't do it, but you shouldn't be invisible. He's like, yeah, I'm going to be invisible. I'll only be for a couple days, and then, you know, we'll all be in a good spot. And then we'll all be rich. He also keeps talking about the Nobel Prize as if there's any scientific benefit whatsoever to making a person or a gorilla or a snake or a dog invisible.
Well, because that's the thing. It's clearly only for, like, military purposes.
Yeah, for military spies slitting people's throats.
But so we're not giving fucking Nobel Peace Prizes to that. You know what I mean?
Like, well, we gave one to Obama.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man.
Infowars.com. You think that fat pig will ever get a Nobel Prize?
Yeah, he will.
Alex Jones?
Yeah.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
It's any day now.
For inventing this male vitality serum.
But that's what's it's obnoxious in any movie. Whenever anyone is like, you know, call up the Nobel Prize people, call up fucking the Pulitzer people. You know, just shut up and do your fucking job.
Wake the president.
Wake the president. We found out how to turn people invisible.
Well, the weird thing also is like, why would, and this thing, this facility is smack dab in the middle of DC. You could see Congress from the fucking roof.
Oh my God. You wouldn't want any invisible apes to get loose on Congress, or would you?
Or, I mean, or would you? It's a really great question.
If you're sinister William Devane in this movie, Bill Devane as I like to call him.
Oh, sure. Well, you guys barbecue all the time.
Fuck. Is he dead?
Dude. No, he's not. I looked it up.
Oh, thank nice. God.
I want that invite if you ever get invited to that barbecue, man.
Oh, Bill Devane's BBQ.
We just hang out, talk about the marathon, man.
Yeah.
Oh, drink man. A strong you know cup of coffee. You
know You're like, hey, Bill, is it safe? He's like, yeah, it's great, Steven.
And he's so used to that. You invite me. I'm starting talking about the payback director's cut. I'm changing it up.
Okay.
Changing it up.
That's you know nice. What? And then you invite me, and I don't fucking say anything about it. And I just appreciate a good job, a good nice time at Bill Devane's house.
Oh, absolutely, dude.
Not harassing him about things.
I got to tell you, the porch is to die for. It's just like, it's really quaint.
Would you say it's Devane?
Thank you for that. That brings up an opportunity to talk about another terrible joke. Do you remember this... This Wonder Woman joke that's
happening.
Oh,
God,
in
this
movie?
Joke that he should be written up for fucking sexual harassment. Well, this is inappropriate in the workplace.
Here's the thing. He kind of twists Josh Brolin and Elizabeth Shue's arm to be like, hey, look, let me just be invisible. It's totally for science. I'm not a weirdo. It's just so you get this sweet Nobel Prize and look at the president. And he's like, on the way to the thing, he's like, oh, by the way, you ever hear that great joke about Superman? And they're like, no, I never heard that joke. And I guess I'm going to tell this joke now.
You sure are. Well, I'm not telling it.
Here you go. This is like the Aristocrats type of thing.
Yeah, exactly. So Superman is flying around one day, apparently, and he really has a big erection or something and really wants to get down. And
it's as Superman's known for, of course.
And he sees Wonder Woman naked on a roof, suntanning.
She's on the roof of the Justice League, according to this joke.
Well, which isn't their headquarters in space?
A number one problem with this joke.
Is it in space?
Mostly, usually.
Is it going to be in space in the new movie?
Probably.
Okay.
Well, they're not renting something from a fucking Phoenix office park.
I mean, yeah, like, what are you going to do?
I feel like they should. I mean, why not save some money? You're all super. You could fly wherever. So she's spread eagle, apparently. That's an important detail.
And Superman's like, oh, you know, I'm so fast, I can go down there, fuck her really hard, and then fly away, and she won't even notice, which... Okay.
So we are now telling rape jokes at the office.
Right.
It's like working at fucking Fox News.
Not only that, but Kevin Bacon mentions that Superman would like a taste of that wonder pussy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Welcome to your dad's podcast all of a sudden, by the way.
All of a sudden you're fucking transported to the garage. Uh-huh. There's a lot of cold beers. It's one of the look around the corners, don't tell your mother. That's the podcast name, Don't Tell Your Mother, a podcast for dads.
Man cave.
Don't wake dad.
Yeah, just don't wake dad.
The podcast from Milton Bradley Games.
It might just be the man cave. Welcome back to the man cave. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to be talking a lot about Donald Trump. But before that, Superman's hard dick jokes.
So he goes down to do this action. Where did he does?
On the man cave, we call it doing the deed.
Yeah, he's doing the deed. Oh, brother.
The dirty deed. Done dirt cheap. Yeah, I'll be having a tribute band to AC/DC later this week.
We're playing down at the Fayetteville Roadhouse.
Welcome back. We will have Jeff Dunham on in just a second.
Well, it's a Jeff Dunham impersonator. We couldn't get Jeff Dunham.
This is a great time to remind you, this week's episode is brought to you by the Fayetteville Jet Ski and Marina Outlet.
Also, it's brought to you by the Ku Klux Klan. you know, I just found these nice boys on Facebook.com.
So he goes down there. He has sex with Wonder Woman, or so he thinks. He flies away, and Wonder Woman's like, "Hey, what the hell was that?" And then the Invisible Man says, "I don't know, but my asshole hurts like hell."
Boy, oy, 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 oy.
So instead of raping Wonder Woman,
Superman raped
the Invisible Man. Now I've heard this
in
joke, but. In the butthole.
Welcome back to the man game.
This is a great time to plug our appearance down at the Hollywood, Florida annual chicken barbecue. The whole town's going to be down there. It's going to be a real good time. We're giving away a jet ski.
You got to tell them Pete's a grill master.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Pete is going to be on the grill himself. We're going to be giving away a free jet ski.
Use promo code Beer Guzzle.
I'll be doing an open mic at the Hollywood, Florida Chuckle Hut next Wednesday. I go on at 11:45 p.m. I'm also giving away a free jet ski there, too.
I'll be riding there in a jet ski and giving that jet ski away and walking home.
It's a great alternative to driving a jet ski drunk, because I will definitely be drunk.
So this joke, the
best thing about them telling this joke, him telling the joke, is the two of them are like, eh.
They're grossed out. They're like really specifically grossed out.
Yeah.
And it shows that he's a creep ass, but it also shows he doesn't know shit about the Justice League. Not only, Eric,
this is what he finds offensive, ladies and gentlemen.
Not only is their headquarters somewhere where there's a rooftop, where there's a deck, apparently.
It's a whole sun deck, yeah.
And
well, that's what the Avengers have.
That's true, the Avengers Tower.
You could sunbathe naked up there, no problem.
Oh, yeah, I've done it.
Clark Gregg's done it. Maybe Thor or some flying guy got him. Welcome back to the man cave, where jokes make no sense.
Promo code Beer Guzzle.
Did I tell you about my favorite radio station? They're posting racist stuff.
It's WJBL, also out of Jupiter, Florida. They got a lot of great racist memes and videos you can see on their Facebook.com
y'all,
page.
Y'all, you ever go to Facebook?
Meme Watch.
That's like the drop that they play.
Oh, totally. Shit.
Yeah, and then they talk about memes. And
it's the Meme Watch plays, and then it's like a doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. They just talk about racist memes.
Obama's Hitler. Next meme.
I'm gonna spend the next 20 minutes just clicking through memes and reading them to you. This is a radio show.
But the Invisible Man, ladies and gentlemen, doesn't exist in this universe. Of course not.
Who should it be, Steve?
It should be the Martian Manhunter.
Of course.
Yeah, but the problem with that part of the joke is you'd have to explain to everybody that one of the Martian Manhunter's many powers is to become invisible.
So he has got the power to become invisible. I don't know much about the Martian Manhunter. Does he have an asshole? I want to know if this works. He does.
He would have an asshole. Okay. He eats a lot of Oreo cookies and they got to go somewhere.
Dude, does he? Does he?
Yeah, that's his thing.
Oh, mm-hmm. Man, finally something I have in common with the Martian Manhunter.
Well, you got two things if you got an asshole.
Meme Watch.
So he goes invisible and almost immediately... Now, because the chronology is really important, because again, like, does the thing make him go mad? The first night, Kim Dickens is like, they're like, oh, you know, by the way, we need to do 24-hour surveillance on him. And there's only, Kim Dickens is the vet. Greg Grunberg, I don't even know what he does.
He's the pornography technician.
Joey Slotnick is there.
Because it's the 1990s.
He's the technician with the one and only black woman in the movie who says maybe three things for at all.
You watch her urinate, and then you better believe she's the first to die.
Mm-hmm. And then Josh Brolin and Elizabeth Shue. And then they draw straws. She's gonna like watch him the first night in this crazy facility to make sure that I guess they don't trust him to not leave or that he might die. Something could happen.
Yeah, it's just like let's see where this goes.
So she falls asleep and he like sexually assaults her in her sleep, which is really uncomfortable.
Yeah, there's like
CGI boobs.
Some big time computer boob in this movie,
which is like the reason Paul Verhoeven did this film, as I understand it.
Well, Paul Verhoeven may have added that after the fact. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you get to see this invisible grip on the breast, and we realize he's Hollow Man because he's hollow of morality.
Mm. Oh.
And we learned something.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Well, because I mean, like, this movie could be interesting, except for like, look at them titties. Because I mean, like, Martin Cinemax did a pass on this movie.
Oh, big time.
Yeah, back then it was called Sex Crimes Man.
Ah, yeah, Sex Crimes Man. That would fit perfectly in the lineup. I can't wait to license Sex Crimes Man. Well, this is a perfectly interesting Invisible Man script, but where are the titties? Get me Paul Verhoeven. Fire that director. Get me Paul Verhoeven.
You're out, Spielberg.
Spielberg, you gave me the titties I requested, but you didn't give me them being abused. Out! I mean, I need something to fill the 10:45 block. Right now I can show this at fucking 4 p.m., showing it to middle schoolers. I need titties, and I need them manipulated. I need them manipulated against the will. Don't stare in my one good eye and tell me you don't know what Cinemax is all about. What's this one doing here? Reading a magazine? Why isn't it dirty? Go back and put in the dirty! What is that, Baseball Monthly? Blah, I don't think so. Titify that magazine immediately. Put more milk in my whiskey. That's right. I'm now going to eat a live toad. Daddy needs breakfast. Hair of the dog. I'll be at the Hollywood, Florida Chuckle Hut next Wednesday, giving away a sexy-ass jet ski. Use promo code FUZZ. Meme Watch.
Yeah, it's definitely Meme Watch.
You know, look at this sexy new meme. Don't you just want to stick it in that meme?
God.
So,
Lord.
But to this movie's credit, Kim Dickens does a really good job of, like, she plays it pretty well. Like, she, in terms of, like, she doesn't know what really happened, and it's really uncomfortable because you have to watch this character, like, tell herself it didn't happen. You know what I mean?
And that's what's weird, though, is, like, this happens twice in this movie. One time it is actually a dream with Elizabeth Shue.
Yes.
But it's unfortunate that, like, here's this situation. It's like this breakthrough for science and whatever, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's like, immediately, because Kevin Bacon is such a scumbag, such a villainous scumbag in this movie, that they have to be like, did I dream that the Invisible Science Project sexually molested me? Yeah. Or did that definitely happen? Because it's a possibility that it happened.
Exactly.
Don't tell me it didn't happen. Because it happened. And Kim Dickens, I think, like, kind of knows it happens. But she's trying to tell herself it didn't.
Yeah, which is, you could say a lot about sexual harassment, et cetera, speaking of Fox News. But, like, you know, people pretending that things didn't happen to keep their jobs.
Speaking of Fox News, we weren't speaking.
We kind of were a little.
Oh, I mentioned it, like, 20 minutes ago.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Meme watch.
So,
oh, shit. I got to get back on Facebook.
So,
Roger Ailes, are you coming to my barbecue? Finally, you can turn with that poo-poo news station and get back to Cinemax where you belong.
Cinemax announces new lead programmer Roger Ailes.
Oh, yeah. Yes. More toads.
That's what he eats.
Yep.
He eats a lot of toads.
Oh. Roger Ailes eats so many toads, he's like starting to turn into a fucking toad, man. You see that guy? Oh, wow. We thought Lucas had a gobbler. Ailes has like an ultra gobbler.
Him and Martin Cinemax like are on the dais now.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're moving up in the world. So he, they try to turn him back, and it doesn't go well. He has like a Kevin Bacon heart attack, and they have to defibrillate him.
Not as hilarious as a gorilla heart attack,
no,
it turns out.
No, still kind of funny. Well, the weird thing is, like, they're about to bring him back, and, like, Joey Slotnick and the woman are, like, having a back and forth, like, oh, what if he dies, I get his Porsche, et cetera, et cetera. And they're like, all right, let's put the tape on. And Joey Slotnick says, I hope we're not making a snuff film.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
I'm laughing.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm laughing, Steve.
Man.
Oh, mercy. Yeah, so it doesn't turn back. And it's like, you know, a lot of this movie is just, like, there's a lot of downtime. It's a lot of, like, is he doing bad stuff? The people don't know, but we do. And it's like, of course he's going to break out. And, like,
he gets really frustrated because he can't become visible again.
Right, yeah. And the most disturbing portion of his breakout, and now he's outside in the real world and going invisible, is the fact he's doing it barefoot. I mean, could you imagine walking around barefoot everywhere
in
you
DC?
Go?
In D.C.?
Goo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. No thanks. No thank you.
Well,
so he starts looking at a neighbor of his. Are we up to the neighbor?
Well, this is pretty much the neighbor scene.
Yeah. Or as I like to call it, the single most problematic scene in the movie.
Yeah.
Nope.
Well, I was just setting the mood for everyone. Okay, now lower the lights. He was peeping at her at the start of the film.
Uh-huh. Yeah, real rear window sitch.
Yes, and it's disturbing.
Well, I want it shut up. You can't just have it in the middle of the movie. Yeah, I don't like surprise rape. Gotta shut it up first.
I mean, he brutally rapes her, and it's a really uncomfortable rape scene, and there's a lot of POV stuff in it where it looks like you might be raping this woman.
And
like,
they do, I mean, they do a lot of bullshit, like, you see him, like, look out the window, and he's like, no, that would be terrible or whatever. And then it's
he
a real, like,
in the mirror.
Speaking of no one's looking.
Who's going to know?
Yeah, who's like, going to know? Fucking
you're
going
to know, buddy.
Not even that, but, like, it's the problem. The biggest problem with this rape scene is that it's so inconsequential to the rest of the movie. It does nothing. This woman never comes. You never know what this woman's name is.
Right. No.
You'd think it would come back in some way because it's like, wait. You were brutally raped by nothing, you know, but the scientist working on invisibility lives right across the street from you, right across from your apartment, and you've probably noticed him before. I mean, he's so obvious with his peeping.
Well, he's obvious with the peeping, but it's not like he's like, oh, how are you doing, Marsha? Yeah, can't talk right now. I got to go work on my invisibility experiment.
All I'm just saying is...
Hey, did I tell you that Superman joke? I'll get you later.
But when Mulder and Scully get on the case,
right.
Like,
oh, yeah.
They would.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And they start snooping around the area, and you know they've got access to files
but
we don't.
The funny, and but you're right though.
They're called X.
Later in the
They're
movie,
called X.
Later in the movie, like, oh, is Sebastian evil? His name is Sebastian Cain. Like, oh, I don't know what has he really done? Blah blah blah. And like, there should be like a news report, like woman raped by woman says she was raped by a ghost.
Elizabeth
Shue, and then everyone
needs
like,
to find out.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Because like, someone should find out. Like the fact that this young woman's life is completely ruined. She's traumatized for life. And then you're out of the movie. That's it.
Yeah, you know, there's like there's no consequence. It's like as if Kevin Bacon was a fucking college swimmer. Like there's just no consequence for it at all.
Yeah, it's I mean it's disgusting, and it doesn't do anything for the movie. And it is again like it says something about like rape culture, et cetera, like, you know, what happens when this guy is left to his own devices and he thinks that he's above the law, speaking of college swimmers. And
yeah,
but it doesn't do that because all it does is show like a really naked, sexy lady. Like, you know what I mean?
Well,
it's way too salacious.
And that's to
be
that's
an effective
because
right? It's like moral, whatever.
She gets out of the shower. You know, yeah. He does the old knock on the door and then sneaks in when she like walks into the hallway.
Just, you know, you never want to open the door just because somebody keeps knocking on it. That's when you lock the door. If you can't see anybody, that's the move.
Yeah, if there's nobody in that peephole, man, you know, come on. But yeah, there's like these shots of her like sitting in front of a vanity, like brushing her hair.
Rona Mitra is the actress, by the way.
Rona Mitra?
Yeah, she's been in stuff.
I was going to say that name does sound familiar, but you know, you wouldn't know it from this fucking movie. Because she's looking at the Tribune here, she's literally fucking credited as Sebastian's neighbor.
Yeah, and I don't think she even says anything.
Oh, you know what she's in actually?
That, I think I do. Right? Isn't the that movie with Malcolm McDowell? Right?
Oh, I don't know about
that. Oh, that movie with Malcolm McDowell? Welcome back to That Movie with Malcolm McDowell, where we review every single movie that ever came out in the history of the world.
It came up a few weeks ago, right? The movie with from the guy who did Dog Soldiers?
Oh, we were talking about this. What was that movie?
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Was it
Doomsday.
Hollow Man? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She is in Doomsday. She's also, though, I was going to say.
I've been vindicated.
I don't. There's no, listen, audience. There's no guarantees on this, but a lot of people have been talking about it on social media. We haven't checked it out yet. It will go through our scanning system to see, but apparently she's in Hard Target, too.
Oh, wow. Ooh.
So there's something. Rona Mitra. Yeah, we'll say her name here because this movie doesn't give a flying fuck.
But, I mean, it just happens, and it's really exploitative, and it just goes nowhere. I mean, it's. If it mattered at all, it would be something, but it doesn't, so it's disgusting and kind of nothing.
And then I'm like, oh, is this the director's cut? But I also just, I remember seeing this in theaters, and no,
I mean,
that's just
this
in the
was
movie.
In the trailer. Like, literally, this rape scene, or the beginnings of this rape scene is in the trailer, because people knew they were going to go see a sexy movie.
Right.
And Paul Verhoeven delivered it,
Now, let me lighten the mood a little bit
Thank
here.
God.
Let me ask you guys this. Do you
meme think- watch? Give it away, a jet ski.
No, let me ask you this. Would you guys see a movie in where Joey Slotnick played the younger, like the youngish nephew to Paul Giamatti?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that a movie?
Yeah, no, that, you know what? I for a second, when you said his name, I was like, no. but where it went was perfect, and I would definitely see that movie.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I mean, I honestly like that's an Alexander Payne movie right there.
Right.
And it then really they
reteam them.
Yeah, and then they become invisible, and they have a bunch of crimes in a winery or a vineyard.
I'm not stealing any fucking Merlot. They're robbing the vineyard. They got to knock
it
off.
Yeah,
that's
dude.
The thing. You guys remember when Joey Slotnick was accused of sleeping with a student? His character was on Boston Public.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jesus Christ.
No, sorry. His character he played
Meme
on.
Meme watch.
he's also really, I mean, like, it's not his fault. I actually just watched this movie and think it might have been an episode, but Blast from the Past, he's a really annoying side character.
Not that movie where Brendan Fraser's been in a bunker for years.
Yeah, oh, that movie's terrible.
And Christopher Walken's in it, too.
Yeah,
Jet ski.
So he rapes this woman to no consequence. He comes back, and like he's having trouble sleeping, and like also because he's like, oh, man, I can't sleep because I can't close my eyes, or I can, but my eyelids are invisible. I'm like, that's like, what sleep masks are for, man.
Sleep
like,
mask, a bandana. How about a good old-fashioned T-shirt?
Or also turn the lights off, too. Like the,
also, if your retinas are invisible, how are you seeing at all, right? Yeah. Isn't that one of the quagmires of science invisibility?
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. They didn't address it either in the Claude Rains Invisible Man. Jack Griffin just didn't have any retinas.
What about
either?
That Chevy Chase memoirs?
Oh, directed by John Carpenter. It's an okay movie.
I haven't seen it in really long.
It's not
you
great.
You want to see a really fun Invisible Man movie? The Invisible Agent, I think it's called. And that is where the Invisible Man...
It's one of the Universal sequels,
right? Yeah,
yeah. And this is a good one.
Yeah, he's going behind lines in Nazi Germany as an Invisible Man, like fucking shit up.
Yeah, it's
pretty cool.
Shit. Is that supposed... It's not Jack Griffin, though. Jack Griffin dies in the end of the first one, doesn't he?
I don't remember. It's been 100 years.
Oh, is it Holly Griffin from the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen?
I think it's like his son or some nonsense.
Speaking of the Invisible Man getting raped, by the way, that happens in that comic book.
Yeah, that's where Alan Moore got it from.
Goblin vomit.
So
catch him in bed with an Invisible Man.
So he's becoming more and more aggressive. He kills a dog. Yeah. He kills an invisible dog. By the way, invisible dog, that's just the worst of all worlds. All you do is hear the yapping.
Oh, I know. It's horrible.
You don't even get the aesthetic appeal of a dog. All the negatives.
I'll tell you, the heat signature, it looked like Eddie from Frasier.
You know that Paul Verhoeven, speaking of IMDb, that we're just going to talk about IMDb all the time.
Yeah.
Paul Verhoeven was investigated by PETA because they thought he killed a dog in this movie because of this scene.
Because of that scene?
Yeah, because like they're like, oh, you know, I want to see what happened to that fucking dog, man. Like,
well, what fucking dog? It's Predator vision. It's heat signature shit. What are you talking about, PETA? Get your shit together. These fucking frivolous investigations.
That's how he got around it. He thought we would think it's fake.
Exactly. Meanwhile, fucking 30 horses are dying on the set of every Western ever made.
Oh, yeah. Where's PETA there?
So he just, it's pretty brutal. It's a real, I don't know if this is a director's cut thing or not.
But I thought you were going to say, I don't know if this was a real dog or not.
I'm still unconfirmed whether or not this is a real dog. He like kind of just slams it against a wall.
This thing pops like a water balloon, man.
It's kind of beautiful. You know, it's
in what way?
In the way that it just explodes.
Like the heat signature blasts like the color all over the frame. Listen, I'm trying to help you out because this is really creepy.
No, I'm just saying, man, imagine if Jackson Pollock did this.
Killed a dog?
Yeah, and used it on a painting.
I'm sure Jackson Pollock stomped a dog to death.
Absolutely, just to feel it.
We know Damien Hirst has, and he's a renowned artist. I'm just saying.
That's true.
This is like, you know, this is Sebastian Cain's doodle.
By the way, I'm just looking at the chronology of things in this movie, like in my notes. Do you want to know why Kevin Bacon like gets out and like inevitably goes and like or ultimately goes and rapes that woman?
What's that?
It's because Greg Grunberg's looking at the pornography.
Yeah, that's a problem.
He's
not
paying attention until it's too late. And then Kevin Bacon's like, "You don't own me, porno boy."
He saw the porno and he got all jacked up.
Oh,
all
right,
horned out, and he. You know, like, it's like this porno culture that has taken over everything. And if Greg Grunberg had stayed up with the good book called the Bible, maybe this wouldn't happen.
He also has a really gross conversation with him. He's like, "Hey, man, Sebastian, you got out. Did you mess with anybody?" And, like, this is after he brutally rapes that woman. He's like, "Yeah, I kind of did." He's like, "Oh, that's cool. I would mess with all sorts of people."
He goes, "I would definitely go hang out in a Victoria's Secret." Yikes.
Yeah, congratulations, Greg Grunberg. Welcome back to the man cave.
I missed that line. Wow. Yeah.
All right, in the next hour, we're going to be sampling all kinds of chicken.
We're going to talk about the new Victoria's Secret runway collection minute by minute.
God, I hate that culture.
So, but Kim Dickens is the vet. And
hey, look at that one. Hey, look at this one.
Makes for great morning radio.
Yeah, well, hold up. That's our next episode. We'll get to the next ones on our next episode, minute by minute.
Now let's make the heterosexual pledge, letting everyone know that we're heterosexual. It's important to end the show with that, in case you didn't get it. No,
meme watch. Sorry, what were you saying?
Kim Dickens is like, she goes to feed this like sprayed dog who's invisible, poor fucking invisible dead dog.
Oh man.
And she's like, "Oh no, the dog's dead." And like everyone's like, "I don't know, do you think Sebastian did it?" And they're like, but meanwhile, and she's like,
a group of scientists are doubting her, acting like, "Yeah, come on, dogs explode all the time."
Yeah, exactly.
Dogs have been known to just blow up.
And I'm wondering, is this serum blowing shit up? Like, are they injecting this invisible serum?
That could be. Like, that dog was invisible longer than anything else, and this is a new test result?
Exactly. Or maybe they tested it on gerbils, and they kept popping.
So they're like, oh, let's check Sebastian's tape because we are always taping him. And luckily for Sebastian, he watched the movie Speed a couple of nights prior before going invisible.
Yeah.
And sure enough, it's looping footage of his dick in thermonuclear predator vision.
I thought it was going to be not he's
thermonuclear,
like,
but
yeah, I was like, what?
Well, that dick has gone nuclear.
I thought he was going to start playing with himself in that video.
Mm-hmm.
He's like sticking his hand under the sheet.
Hey,
like,
hey, better movie.
Well, that's also true. Anytime Kevin Bacon masturbates in a movie, it's instant 4 stars.
They send footage of Kevin Bacon playing himself over and over to Dennis Hopper and his fucking 9 fingers. My money!
Here's the biggest problem I have with this movie. The biggest non-fucking senseless rape scene problem I have with this movie. There's a lot of downtime in this movie. There's a lot of back and forth. There's a lot of horsing off. A lot of BS, if you will.
Uh-huh.
These useless, like, supporting scientist cast members need to start getting picked off a lot fucking sooner.
You don't know that's going to happen until like about an hour and 14 minutes.
Oh, come on, man. You can smell that train coming a mile away. Like, of course he's going to start killing people.
So I don't know what makes them go. It's not the dog because nobody gives a shit. And they don't believe it. And they think the dog just explodes. Why do they go to Bill Devane? Why do they wake Bill Devane?
Oh, they wake him because they're like, hey, we really fucked up and this guy's going crazy.
Oh, that's just point out before we go any farther, I'm sorry, that Steve made a very good waking Ned Devine joke and fucking nobody acknowledged it. And I just want to say that was very funny.
Thank you. I mean, I wrote that like 2 days ago. I really did. I practiced it in the mirror this morning.
I think it's because they're like, he breaks out again and they're like, oh, fuck. All right, we got to go tell dad.
Oh, no,
we got to go wake daddy.
Oh, you know what they do? They realize.
don't wake daddy.
They realize that he's been looping the footage.
Right.
And they're
like,
he's been going out all of the time.
And he's probably killed this dog and what's next. And
I mean, and like that's again, this is when Ronomitra's rape should be the catalyst to get
if we
him
don't
in
act now, he could sexually assault someone. Oh, what happened?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I just remembered one other disturbing thing that happened in this movie that made me afraid. And no one else probably. But when they're making that mask for him,
gross.
Like he wears that weird like rubber pink mask.
Oh, right.
And then, like, they're pointed on his face. They let it dry. It's still on his face. And they start cutting out the eye holes while it's on his face.
Yeah, that's
and it's
tough.
Like, dude, you're cutting his eye off, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Elizabeth Shue's like, don't move. I'd be like, don't worry. I'm too busy frozen shitting my pants.
How about I take the mask off?
But how are you going to cut it accurately?
How are you not going to cut? You can't even see his face anyway.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
You just have no idea.
You're just jamming scissors right in the eyes, which, I mean, this guy deserves it.
And it's great because Bill Devane is so pissed off. He's like, you're all fucking fired. Mm-hmm. Everyone in that facility is fucking fired. And they're like, oh, you know, what can we do? He's like, well, you go look for Sebastian. And also start cleaning out your offices. It's really great.
Yeah, one thing at a time.
He's smoking a pipe. He's about to call a general. I wish I had occasion to call a general. Like, if I...
You will soon.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
It'll happen.
Here's why Bill Devane gets murdered in this movie.
Uh-huh.
Now, what happens is he gets the bad news, and he's like, you're all fucking fired.
Yeah.
You know, and he sends them on their way, and he's like, I'm going to call these generals. Cut to, he's outside. He's, like, packing this little pipe, you know. And the wife comes out, and she's like, oh,
premium
hey.
Premium kush, you think? Or?
Oh, probably some serious fucking sour diesel, dude. Totally. He works for the government.
Yeah, that's true.
So the wife is like, hey, man, you know, what's going on? She says, you know, how are things or whatever. And to which he says, bad enough to wake a few generals.
Uh-huh.
Now, you get this information that a fucking invisible man is running amok in the nation's capital.
Definitely killed a dog at this point.
Oh, definitely popped that dog like a zit.
Right.
And now you are tasked with waking up these generals. First, you're going outside to have a puff. Get on that fucking phone, dude.
Well, come on, man. It's sour diesel.
Well, it'd be great if he was like, gave the gorilla a heart attack? All right, I'm going to call the general right now. What are we doing to these gorillas?
It just bothered me. And then so Kevin Bacon like sneaks up on him and drowns him in his own pool.
And this is a pretty cool scene of like
the water, like the Invisible Man in the water, like that animation. It holds up.
It's Hydro Man, cool. Man. It's better than that last Spider-Man movie. Hydro Man's a Spider-Man villain.
Hydro Man is a Spider-Man villain.
Yeah.
And he is a man.
Now what's his problem?
So he's made out of water. What happened to him? He was under a sink too long.
I was smoking a J in a pool once. I was smoking a J in a radioactive pool. It had to have been a radioactive sink. Actually, that's what he's sitting under.
Well, you know, it's Marvel, so the kitchen sink had to come into play at some point.
But it's pretty cool, and he drowns him, and then his wife is horrified. I was surprised he didn't go back and kill the wife either, but I guess like she's not a witness. I'm invisible. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, exactly. Like she's expendable at this point. You can just let it go.
And now this is when Kevin Bacon is like, okay, now I have to kill all these people and burn the whole project down so nobody knows that there's an invisible man that is actually me. Although his identity doesn't matter at this point. Just walk away. You're invisible.
Well, big question here. Yeah, one, go into hiding, but two, what is the end game?
Mm-hmm.
That's the big question. You're outside. You killed Bill Devane. Just walk away. Like, what are
like,
you doing?
Stow away on an airplane or something. Like, just get, like you just don't be anywhere. No.
Hi, Hong Kong Airlines. When's the next flight from DC?
But no, the thing is, he is upset about Josh Brolin and.
He finds out about the fucking. Of course.
Yeah, like they're like kind of fucking in a cash way. In an early 1990s way, taking off all their or late 1990s way, taking off all their like high waisted jeans and what have you.
Oh, getting those striped sweaters off and so on. You know,
I thought they all looked pretty sharp.
There's way too much talking in their first sex scene. I'm like, hey, Josh Brolin. Oral sex is afoot. Why don't you stop talking about work for 2 seconds?
Stop talking about Kevin Bacon.
Yeah. No. She's. We're about to have sex. Let me bring up her ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, like it is. He's like, oh, do I measure up? And like she says, you fit better, which is like, yo, dude.
Yeah, that's a fucking pull the fucking emergency brake on Hollow Man the movie. Fit better. Good Lord, Paul Verhoeven.
Well, she's not hollow anymore.
Oh, Lord.
Said Martin Cinemax IV, the plucky young heir.
Oh, that's your new character that sounds exactly like you?
Oh, yeah. The fans will put that on a t-shirt. Wow, that rendering of Martin Cinemax IV looks eerily exactly like Eric.
I have ambitions.
So he goes back to the facility. He changes everybody's access code. He gets everybody back. And now he does start picking everybody off one by one. And here's the thing.
Yeah.
They're like, oh no, Kevin Bacon is evil now. They have these fucking thermal goggles and they are just hanging around their necks. Like it's I don't even know what. Those goggles are on all of the time.
Yeah,
my goggles are on.
Like, hey guys, goggles on. There's an invisible man afoot. Goggles on, please.
I mean, have a spare set of goggles on top of those goggles.
Oh yeah, I got goggles on my head, and then I got a goggle in my back pocket.
You look like Dwayne. What's his face from Another World?
Oh, Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
Dwayne Wayne. Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. He's a great character.
He was. So
a different world.
A different world, not another world.
It's a different world.
And, you know, they're trapped in this facility because Kevin Bacon changes all the elevator codes. And now we're starting to pick people off one by one. And Kevin Bacon gets on top of a steam pipe and lifts up. This is insane.
Getting on top of a steampunk. That's what I thought you said for half a second.
He gets on top of a really heavy guy with goggles on.
And then next they cut to they're in a dirigible.
Yeah, speaking of goggles, it must have gotten in my head.
No, but he, like, Undertaker's Greg Grunberg and like chokes him for a while.
This was always my biggest problem with this movie, logically or logistically, is like all of a sudden he's now super strong too.
He's super strong and super durable, which we'll get to.
You're right. It doesn't make sense. What should have happened is he's on the table, you know, getting the secret serum, and next to him is the gorilla, and they swap minds.
Oh.
And
now he's in now he's got gorilla strength.
Yeah, no. He's like an Kevin Bacon's mind is in
the gorilla. Oh, his consciousness is in the gorilla?
And now he's an invisible gorilla.
Dude, hashtag better movie.
Well, that's right. Why he's a hollow man, because that inside went in the fucking, his soul right. Went in the gorilla.
And then it's just like Kevin Bacon's like hollow brain, and he's in the Kevin Bacon body, and he's the gorilla, and he just wants to eat bananas and sleep. And you know,
and they learn sign language.
The gorilla's reading all this pornography.
Right, yeah. And they call him a hollow man because he got so dumb from the invisibility. But they don't know.
Yeah, no,
the gorilla's out there committing crime.
Let me tell you, that fixes this movie right quick.
And you, eventually that gorilla would have to wear a derby at some point.
Here's my thing, and this is embarrassing for the characters played by Elizabeth Shue, Josh Brolin, Joey Slotnick, the rest, the whole lot. You're being bested by a man who is completely nude.
Yeah.
You're telling me in these endless like encounters, these fucking fight scenes, you can't clip that dick once, dude?
Seriously. Yeah.
Come on.
Rip it off.
Nobody,
rip it off.
Nobody at any point in this movie goes for the dick, and it's a big problem.
Well, you know what? Even better, because they do. Kevin Bacon does this. He's like, "Oh, I'll mess with the heat to make the goggles in
right.
useless." No, you turn the cold up, man. Now it's like 40 degrees. This guy's running around nude.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Dude, everyone just puts on winter coats and you fucking freeze that dangle.
Totally, dude. I mean, I don't understand. This dude is fucking flip-flapping in the breeze and nobody can clip this cock.
Just
come on.
Get it cold enough, it'll shrink.
Mm-hmm. Or he'll put on a coat too, like, oh shit.
Oh, I better put on a coat. Chasing in a coat running around. I like it.
Coat with a little sock.
Honestly, I could have used more things like that, more poltergeisty fun effects.
Sure.
Like shit floating around like he's reading a book.
Yeah.
Maybe he's got glasses on.
Well, that's what like happens like innocently enough at the beginning when he first turns.
Before
he
starts sexually assaulting everybody.
Right, yeah, before the monstrous sex crimes, he's just, you know, pretending to be a ghost.
Greg Grunberg gets it pretty good in this scene. So he rips him up and then like Josh Brolin's like, no, and he shoots him with a Trank gun and misses. But he throws Grunberg on this pipe and his throat just explodes.
Oh, it's just, he fell the wrong way, man. Yeah, yikes. It's,
and my favorite line that I think Josh Brolin's ever said, because, like, you know, we're doing, like, aliens kind of, like, you know, Elizabeth Shue's in the command center saying, you know, to your left, to your right. And Josh Brolin goes, where the fuck is Sebastian? Which is, it gets like Ted Levine levels.
Dude, my favorite Josh Brolin line of all time in any movie is when he goes, hey, Poppy, did I cause 9/11? Deleted scene from Oliver Stone's W.
You know what? I think that takes the cake.
So,
we're trying to hunt invisible Jason Voorhees, basically.
And then Kim Dickens is like, oh, poor Greg. Kim Dickens and Joey Slotnick go, like we said, the African-American woman gets killed first. Kind of unceremoniously gets like piano wire or something.
Well, that's what I was like, where are you getting this fucking Garrett wire here? This was there a piano in the break room?
So she's just done dead. Greg Grunberg is bleeding out, and Joey Slotnick and Kim Dickens run to him, and like they're putting pressure on it, and Kim Dickens is like, Joey Slotnick, you stay here with him, I'm gonna get more blood. And this is when I leave Greg Grunberg to die.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yep. Oh, yeah.
Without question.
Easily. You know, I see Greg Grunberg and I'm leaving him for dead. He doesn't have to be dying.
Oh, here's this fucking jerk. He's looking at pornography every day at work. He pretends to be a scientist. I'm Joey Slotnick. I'm a real scientist. Fuck this.
And all you have to do is be like, oh, sorry, he bled out.
Yeah,
I totally kept pressure on it.
Man, another victim of the hollow man.
Damn you, hollow man.
Let's get him.
Absolutely, I'm so leaving Greg Grunberg for dead. And I mean, by Greg Grunberg, I mean literally anyone in this room.
And you're a Greg Grunberg, and you're a Greg Grunberg.
Because, like, look, there's a fucking invisible man that has the power to lift Greg Grunberg 20 feet off the ground with his arms.
Steve, I totally understand it, man. I'd leave you for dead, too.
Absolutely. So Kim Dickens is, like, trying to get blood, and in this scene, she's got all these blood packets, and she's, like, Sebastian? She like hears something.
Right.
And she starts spraying the floor with blood all over the place.
Yeah, good. The old checking for footprints. Very smart.
Good
yeah.
fake blood in this scene, too.
Yeah, not bad. Doesn't help Kim Dickens at all. Her neck's instantly broken.
And again, like, dude, it's really hard to break a neck.
This is a cool effect, though. Like, she's throwing the blood everywhere, and then she throws it once, and it's just like... covers your bacon.
Yeah, it smothers your bacon. He looks like a Megadeth album cover.
Yeah, he looks pretty good. He's like at a Guar show or something.
I mean, all you've done is made him more scary. You exactly. know what I mean? Like, you're not helping yourself.
Great, he leveled up.
This is where the neck break occurs, because then she hits the ground pretty hard and passes out.
I think he tranks her, too. Cause
he tranks her right in the chest.
Yes, and then he breaks her neck. Yes.
Yeah, great. And another Jason Voorhees move.
He says something weirdly sexually, like, oh, yeah, it was like our fun last time. And it's like, ew.
Yeah, I get just, oh, God, the movie's got 20 minutes left. Shut up.
And Joey Slotnick, whoops, Greg, wouldn't you know it, Greg Grunberg just bleeds out anyway. Joey Slotnick looks like, great. They run to another room, and this is when Joey Slotnick gets impaled by this huge crowbar.
Dude, this crowbar is the biggest menace of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's getting affected by this crowbar. But Slotnick, dude, first, he gets Voorheesed with this thing.
Like, out of nowhere, dude, give me a quick shot of this crowbar, like, zipping down a hallway.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
How fun would that be?
Him running with this crowbar? Totally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're just not thinking of these things, man.
It goes right through him. He locks... I think something happens to Josh Brolin. Oh, then the crowbar gets Josh Brolin too, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This crowbar strikes again.
Hooked in the guts.
Yeah.
Hooked in the guts. And this is yet another Josh Brolin not being hurt by anything, because he's fine.
He's more or less fine.
Later on in this movie, like, he's basically left for dead in a way. Like, oh, go get help.
Yeah.
You know, and
but it's the old surprise, like, I'm going to save you. I'm not dead after all, even though I was totally near death 4 minutes ago.
He, like, tries to freeze them out. He locks Elizabeth Shue and Josh and the dying Josh Brolin in a freezing contraption thing. And like
a freezer?
They call it a freezing contraption thing where I'm from.
That's the scientific term, actually.
It's a Bronx term.
You know the consumer term.
Oh, right. Yeah. Of course.
And the Bronx has a lot of scientists.
Bronx School of Science, great school.
There you go. Sick burn.
They use whatever. She uses a magnet to get out of it. While he's doing this, Kevin Bacon makes a bomb out of like nitrous something and a centrifuge.
Here's the thing. You know what an Invisible Man movie shouldn't have? Fucking bombs and fake magnet guns and all this shit.
Yep.
Stop it. Stop it with this MacGyver horse shit in this movie.
And the best part is he blows up, like, he's like testing and he blows up part of the facility already.
Right.
And he's like, I'll set this to blow up. And Elizabeth Shue gets out, and Elizabeth Shue makes a fucking flamethrower.
Yep.
And I mean, this thing is awesome.
It's pretty cool.
It is throwing flames.
I think Crowbar takes a backseat to this great flamethrower, because she starts cooking him like fucking meat. Like bacon, to be quite honest.
Like, charring him like bacon.
By this point, he's put clothes on. He set the place to explode by putting like nitro in a spinner thing. Yeah. I don't know.
A centrifuge, they call it.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Look at that.
Ooh.
Gotcha.
Yeah, the last act of this movie is kind of like the last act of Jurassic Park, but instead of raptors, it's Kevin Bacon.
It's like
Kevin Bacon.
Dude, it's like the last act of a Bond movie, man. Like, this fucking hideout is falling down all around us. This villain's, you
and
know.
And he's just casually walking out. You know, his leg starts turning back into the normal way it goes.
No, you're mixing up Spacey and Bacon again.
Oh, my God, I got Spacey.
The Invisible Man, did you see him? Did you see him?
The greatest trick the Invisible Man ever pulled was... convincing the world he didn't exist?
Yes.
Meme watch.
Remember watch.
But she just roasts him really hardcore. And I
thought this was the Invisible Man. He's the goddamn Invincible Man.
He's dead. I mean, like, literally, he's dead. Because, like, all of his clothes burn off his body.
Because he was about to walk out of there.
Yeah, I hadn't remembered this movie, and I was like, oh, fuck, like, that's how they get him. Mm-hmm. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
But no. He keeps coming, Voorhees style.
So she burns him, and he runs away. And then, like, she's like, oh, how am I going to be able to find him? Oh, I know. I'll just put this flamethrower at the sprinkler system. I'm like, there was a sprinkler system and there's been an explosion and a flamethrower used. This thing is useless. He's like, oh, let me just put this lighter above the sprinkler and they're going to go off.
It's like when you got to hold your remote directly in front of the fucking TV because the battery's dying.
Exactly. And
I don't know why, but his burns go away when the water hits. So like it washes off all of his third degree burns, yeah, which
who
is bullshit.
Even knows? He's dead.
Because he looked really cool as a little crispy critter running around. And then like he gets the drop on her. And then out of nowhere, you know, Brolin shows up and knocks him on the noodle.
With that crowbar, I think.
Yeah. And he falls down on the ground and they see his friggin' body. Yep. Beat that thing to death.
Exactly. Yeah. Till those brains are fucking hamburger, dude. Just keep going.
You know why? Because that's what Greg Grunberg would have wanted. You know what I mean? Like, oh, yeah. Doing it for Grunberg, doing it for Slotnik.
I will say,
doing it for the rest of the cast of Boston Public, Nicky Catt, Shy McBride.
Man, Shy McBride was great on that fucking show.
Rashida Jones, everybody, just get everybody.
Was my greatest observation or most entertaining observation about him getting lit on fire was like, this was the only time in cinema history that the guy in the stunt flame suit actually looked okay.
Yeah.
Because he's got like the bullshit latex mask on anyway, yeah. So it's okay that he looks like garbage.
Yeah.
So Larry the stuntman getting lit up in this flame retardant suit, like it's the only time it's been accurate.
It looks great.
It looks like a fucking Leatherface Christmas. Like he is just lit up. And
cannibals roasting on an open fire.
And now we're entering the phase of the film where Kevin Bacon dies 15 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, a.k.a. where are the credits?
A.k.a. the elevator disaster.
Not only Jesus. That, but he hits an electrical box with this crowbar.
Oh, right, he gets zapped.
He fries up, and then he becomes like... I guess from the electricity, he becomes semi-translucent again. Like he's like Muscle Man.
Yeah, well, it's what happened to Jason Voorhees, dude.
Oh fuck!
But I'm seeing a lot of parallels here.
The explosion's gonna
I bet he's got a lot of issues with his mother too.
Just to put on the sweater, man. Kevin Bacon. So it's your classic facility. Oh no, we got to use the elevator. Oh no, we're going to use the access ladder.
Yep.
And the explosion's happening, and Kevin Bacon, wouldn't you know it, grabs her leg.
Oh yeah,
he grabs her down in one more rapey movie. Tries to kiss her.
This is so aggravating because you've been presumed dead completely. The lab has now exploded.
Mm-hmm.
They saw you fry up. They think you're dead. You could have gotten away.
Take an L on this one. Yeah. Yep. Take the loss here.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's kind of like if Hannibal Lecter kept going.
Yes.
You know, but he was smart enough to get out of Dodge, go down to the Bahamas. I'm having an old friend for dinner.
Yeah, exactly.
That is who I want to see as an invisible man.
Oh, shit. That's dicey.
Someone with some brains.
Some class, too.
Oh, yeah.
God. Yeah, and
a nice floating bottle of red wine.
What is great about this elevator shaft sequence, though, is like...
It takes forever?
No, that's the worst part about it, is its length. No, it's like she hits him or something, and he fucking falls off back into this like fire thing.
She says, dude, go to hell, by the way.
Oh, well, of course. You know. Well, where else is he going to go?
Yeah, sure.
What's amazing...
Heaven everlasting...
As he goes into these flames, don't you know it? You see this fucking computer cock just get gobbled up by the fire. Like, here is this falling fucking bodies exhibit going down this elevator shaft, and you see this fucking dick. They have the attention to detail to see this cartoon dick fall into the fireball.
Oh, my God. You think he's a Chinese dissident?
Oh.
Right, that's what the bodies exhibit
that's
is.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. You're just paying to see some people that shouldn't be dead.
but you know what, Steve? They're dead. That's not going to change anything. We might as well get some enjoyment on our afternoon walk.
You might as well fucking prop them up at the South Street Seaport and charge tourists $50 a head.
Listen, I came to look at boats, but I could see Chinese dissidents with their skins ripped off their corpses. What's wrong with that?
Same diff. Yeah, I'm learning a lot about the human body.
Oh, look at that, mother.
Oh, mother, look at this. In the same photograph, we can get a deceased Chinese dissident in the Statue of Liberty. Irony if I ever saw it, mother.
Ooh, mother.
Meme watch.
Mother, I like this one. He looks scared.
Mother, look at that. They caught the death glands.
So, yeah, so actually, the biggest bit of bullshit in this scene is Josh Brolin got hammered in the guts with this crowbar. And he's like, we're talking about gut spillage is imminent. Like, it's a gusher. It's in his guts.
Sure.
He's going up and down this ladder like 15 times.
Dude, and it's horseshit.
And it's an elevator shaft.
They have a line, like, because they're going to crawl out of the elevator into the shaft, like at the beginning of the scene, and she says something like, are you going to be able to do this with your fucking gut injury? And he goes, well, do I have a choice? I was like, no, but it's cool to have conflict in your scene.
And also, your hand was eaten by a gorilla recently.
Maybe he's a were-gorilla. Maybe that's what's going on.
If I get bit by a gorilla, by the way, I'm taking the next few weeks off. Absolutely. Enjoy your fucking science experiment. I got bit by a gorilla.
Oh, well, we need somebody to watch Kevin. Oh, no, Andrew's still upset about that gorilla thing. Okay, I'm literally not even going to call him.
It fucking scarred, okay?
But the thing is, like, I couldn't do this shit without being injured.
Absolutely not.
No.
That elevator would... Because the elevator goes up, and then it comes back down.
Oh, they're dodging this thing. It's fucking stupid.
But he's dead, and that's pretty much the end of the movie. They just escape, and then...
It has a very old Hollywood ending, this movie. It's like Elizabeth Shue and Josh Brolin are, like, embracing on this ladder... And then it's like we cut outside to like the fire department showing up, and then it's just credits, like it's over with.
I do like that we just quickly end.
Yeah, there's no like muahahahaha from fucking Kevin Bacon's penis at the end of this movie.
Here's the question:
oh my god, now the penis is running around.
Oh yeah,
it's got
dude.
two little ball legs.
What are you saying, Steve?
No, I'm curious.
What's happening? Like, Bill Devane is dead at the other side of town.
Sure.
Nobody really knows what happened to his, you know, his wife's like, oh, he had a heart attack at the pool.
Yeah, he just drowned.
Are Josh Brolin and Elizabeth Shue being like, oh, man, that was a fire in our lab. Oh, my God, you guys. There's a huge... Or like, I feel oh, look, like the invisible man. Like,
you got to go. Here's the thing. You check in with whoever was right below Bill Devane.
Okay, got it.
You say, hey, man, here's the deal. Bill Devane, that was the invisible man. That huge fucking fire and elevator malfunction.
Greg Grunberg, invisible man.
Oh, Greg Grunberg, he got invisible man to like nobody's
business.
You mean
my nephew? Yeah, I gave him that job.
But yeah, I think you check in with somebody and then it's like, hey man,
what's our story?
Do we let the world know that we created an invisible man? Because that changes the world.
The government probably sweeps it under the rug.
Oh, the whole thing. That's why they're down there in the first place, dude.
I wouldn't be surprised if like, you know, all the fire truck, the ambulance show up, and then like government agents show up and just put two in the back of the head of both. Elizabeth
That's what
Shue
you don't see. They're just also kicked down into the fire pit.
Because I don't know if you guys know this. But I think you do, because I think I told you already, that there's a sequel to this movie that came out in 2006.
Right.
Hollow Man 2 starring Christian Slater, and I couldn't be more excited to watch this. They continue the storyline where it was being developed for the military, and Christian Slater is like the military test subject.
Oh, nice. Oh. Was he Bill Devane's number two, you think?
I don't know.
Is anyone... Well, no one can return from the cast.
I'm going to say one thing, though. You painted a beautiful picture, but you are neglecting to mention that Peter Facinelli's in that movie.
Oh, yeah. He's playing the detective, isn't he?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that guy can't act, dude.
Yeah, well, hey. I don't know what to say.
All right. He's just such a huge fan of Peter Facinelli. You can't believe you insulted him like that.
I'm a Slaterhead, man.
Well, yeah, you got a Slaterhead.
I'm a Slaterhead.
Mike Dexter, dude.
Who?
Peter Facinelli's character in Can't Hardly Wait. His name is fucking Mike Dexter.
Oh, right.
Read a fucking comic book, guys. Jesus Christ. Now, the important question of the evening, is anyone going to recommend Hollow Man?
It's, yeah, kind of. Mm-hmm. It looks good.
Yeah.
I mean, aside from the horrific politics of the film and like, you know, you kind of put your brain to bed and you're watching it hangover movie style.
Big, you took the words right out of my mouth.
And also, you know what's good about this is a hangover movie? You're definitely watching it on TBS
and there's no unnecessary nudity.
That's true.
Like, that's a tasteful TBS edit. I could get into that.
Sure. That's it. Get that on DVD, the TBS edit.
No, I'm recommending the uncensored edition.
Oh, shit. Director's cut.
Yeah, full Ding Dong cut.
Yeah.
The Verhovening.
Ding Dong cut. Good question. I got to go back and check if he's circumcised. I think so.
Yeah, he's cut. Yeah, he's cut. He's cut. Next question.
Meme watch.
I think it's a decent time at the movies. And what Steve said is right, the horrific politics, but it's an interesting watch it.
It's a hangover movie. I like the idea of the TV edit for sure. Mm-hmm. It's a total hangover movie. This movie's fucking brainless, but like for the most part, it moves. And when you're hungover, man, you're just going to be fucking sleeping through all that boring shit anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you cut out the middle of it, like if it's just beginning, he's.
Oh, shit. Do you want to do like a phantom edit of this?
I do, because like, if you made like an 80-minute movie where it's like he's kind of a cocky jerk. Because
this is 2 hours, by the way.
Yeah, it's 2 hours.
It's just about 2 hours.
Take out Jar Jar Binks.
You take out Jar Jar Binks. No, you put him in because he was the Dark Sith Lord of the whole time.
Oh, shit.
Dude. No, but you cut out all the middle of like him just milling around and raping people, and it's just about him picking off his team.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
It's a nice like a 75 to 80-minute movie in that way.
That would be a better movie.
And I will also say that next Wednesday, I will be at Ron John's RV Warehouse.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to be doing some stand-up comedy right in there. It's in the heart of Jupiter, Florida.
Oh, wow. And you need to bring 5 people to the show?
Yeah, so I need to bring at least 5 people. So please, if everybody could help me out with that so I don't have to pay back Ron John, like that would be fantastic. Mm-hmm. I want to try to come out in the black a little bit with this show. Yeah. You know what I mean? But an extra $5 for your admission ticket, by the way. We're not talking you have to buy drinks, everybody. Oh, no mandatory drink minimums. Extra $5. You're in a raffle to win an RV.
Oh, I like that idea.
Right in the heart of Jupiter, Florida.
What is the rib situation?
Wait, that's dude, let me tell you. All you can eat.
Oh, I like that.
The hometown of Burt Reynolds, I think.
That's right. How about that? Baby. I'm shaving the beard into a mustache just for this show.
You got to do it.
That's Hollow Man from the year 2000, directed by Paul Verhoeven. For more We Hate Movies, check out WHMPodcast.com or check us out over at SideshowNetwork.tv. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We are at WHM Podcast, right in the mailbag. We all hate movies at gmail.com. Rate and review the show wherever you get it. We'd greatly appreciate it. Spread the word about WHM. And hey, man. Become a Patreon subscriber. Patreon.com/WeHateMovies.
And that is spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N?
You did it, buddy.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Ooh,
look
I
at
can
you.
Move out of the spelling bee.
In a brand new month, the content is coming up in October. A brand new episode of The Nexus. A brand new animation Damnation.
You're goddamn right. Get that bonus content, man. Patreon.com/WeHateMovies. Support the show. We would greatly appreciate it. We appreciate you for listening. All the same. And by the way, we got a new merch shop.
Oh, yeah. tpublic.com/WeHateMovies. And that's T spelled T-E-E.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Public.com. We're talking T-shirts, coffee mugs, iPhone cases. Let me tell you, I got a new iPhone case. It's a little vein. I have our faces on my
Is
own phone.
D-vein?
I wanted to check it out. No, it's not D-vein. It's just vein as fuck. But it's the Chris Walton drawn image, the poster image from our Brooklyn show back when we talked Jupiter Ascending. You can get this shit at TeePublic, man. Anything. Fucking iPhone covers, coffee mugs, shirts, hoodies, whatever you want. TeePublic.com/WeHateMovies. Now, next week on the program... Where are we at, by the way?
Spooktacular.
The Spooktacular. My God,
upon us.
We're already getting into October.
This was kind of an in to the Spooktacular because, you know, this is almost a
it's
horror
kind
movie.
Of
right.
scary. It's
little
kind of
scary.
It's a little bit scary.
But now we're getting really scary with Pet Sematary 2.
Oh, that's right. We are talking
a dog?
A dog. Yeah, there is
Clancy
a German
Brown.
Clancy Brown. That's the name I was searching for. Clancy Brown
I
is
just
the
call him dog. I'm really close with Clancy
Yeah,
Brown.
I was going to say, you better be or else your fucking head is going
to
explode.
Clancy Brown will beat the fucking shit out of you. And Clancy Brown's going to come to me and he's going to be like, where does Eric live? And I'm going to tell him.
Please tell him. I would love that. It would be great to have visitors.
All right. All four of us losers with pipes versus Clancy Brown.
Clancy Brown wins. Oh, he wins.
Yeah.
He rages out and he fucking kills all of us. Guaranteed. Oh, also in the movie, Eddie Furlong and some other fat kid. If I remember the movie correctly, I think Clancy Brown is the stepdad of the fat kid.
Yeah, yikes. Clancy Brown's stepdad. You can keep that.
So until next week, when the Spooktacular 2016 kicks off, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.